You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Hen Day built. And, Paul, you've been talking about it a bit for Nick Nurse. You know, didn't seem to have a ton of confidence with his bench, but due to injuries and stuff, he's had to play his bench more, and they're having better results. They've at least showed a pulse lately. Specifically, Precious Ochoa, give me your thoughts on him, and could he become more of what he's looked over the last 18 months in your eyes?
I definitely think so. With him, I don't think he was with the Raptors enough, Jason, to really evaluate how good he could be. He showed the flashes of brilliance at times, but then like any new player in the NBA, it's going to be an uneven start. Look at Scottie Barnes, for instance. So with Precious, with all of his injury issues, we just haven't had enough time to evaluate how good he could be. But boy, he's showing stronger and stronger efforts on the court, effective. He's showing some versatility in his ability to score, to put the ball on the court, and you know, actually be creative in creating scoring opportunities for him. And he's been rebounding really well. So he fits that Nick Nurse prototype of the long, athletic, versatile guy that can guard multiple positions and score in a variety of ways. So, yeah, Precious seems to be solidifying himself into the rotation, and I think the Raptors are cautiously expecting more and more from him every game.
When you see the success they've had, albeit short-term, lately, and it's with more from their bench, is it their bench players are playing better or they're getting more opportunities?
I think what you've described is what has to happen for bench players to play better, is they need to be given opportunities and not be looking over their shoulders whenever they make a mistake and wondering if they're going to get pulled, which I really think is what the Raptors bench was dealing with over the last couple of months, is a real short leash when they're out on the court. And it seemed like if they made one or two mistakes, they were sitting down again. So I think the fact that Coach Nurse is finally allowing, for instance, Chris Boucher. I mean, Boucher is a very unusual player. He defies definition. He's a chucker. If he has a glimmer of an opening from three, he's going to take the shot. But you just have to accept that about Chris. And that really is when he's at his best, is when he's playing without being afraid of getting pulled. And that goes for any shooter as well. Like if you're out there and you're thinking, if I miss this shot, I'm going to sit, you're going to miss that shot and then you're going to sit. So I think in the case of Boucher, that's one. I really like the addition of Wieskamp, and I hope Nurse will use him, because when you put Wieskamp on the floor, even if you park him in the corner, the other team is going to be scared of him as a three-point threat. And that's going to open up more attack lanes for players like Van Fleet, Trent, Siakam, and Barnes. So all in all, I think what you described, Jason, is it's really kind of one and the same.
Okay. There's a report now out of the Suns that are potentially looking at Fred Van Vliet as a potential Chris Paul replacement, which would be more than just 1 year. When you look at their skill set and the style of player, do you think that's an accurate assumption by the Suns that Van Vliet could potentially replace Paul?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? I think, like, in the terms of like Fred Van Vliet is a really good basketball player, and to say that he's exceeded everyone's expectations of even his ability to make an NBA roster would be an understatement. And I always think back to the championship season of the Raptors. And I think it was either the first or the second series, and Van Fleet was playing abysmally. His baby, his child was born, and then all of a sudden he turned into the new, improved version of Fred Van Fleet, and it seemed like he couldn't miss. And his confidence just exploded. And I think people have grown to expect that from Fred. And I don't know that he's that kind of player night in and night out. I think he always exceeds expectations because of the physical abilities. Again, kind of like Boucher, but in a very different way. He's just not your prototypical NBA player. As it relates to Chris Paul, Chris Paul is a first ballot Hall of Fame point guard. I don't think that Fred VanVleet is as good as Chris Paul is. However, if I'm the Suns and I've got a superstar like Devin Booker, who unfortunately is injured right now, and I put a player like Fred alongside him, as Paul's career is coming to a close, that's a pretty nice backcourt. Because, I mean, Booker has scored 60-plus points. He's an explosive scorer. So to have a player who can score like VanVleet, who's a good passer and a good team guy and a great locker room guy, in terms of what's available out there in the NBA, I can see why the Suns are looking at him.
Paul, sir, join us talking our weekly basketball. Folks, a lot on the NBA. We'll get to the Stingers, who released their schedule earlier today as well, coming up. We saw the Lakers trade. What do you make of that? Is that going to be enough? LeBron James is having an unreal year for the LA Lakers, and they currently sit in 10th place, but they're only a half a game out of the playoff spot behind the Utah Jazz, who I think most of us were surprised at how well they've done. The Lakers are right in there. There's OKC, Golden State. The Lakers are a game and a half back. But there's Minnesota, Golden State, OKC, the Lakers, the Suns, Utah. Heck, even the Clippers aren't out of it. Does this push the Lakers over in your mind to becoming a playoff team?
Here's what it does, Jason, is it gives – I think Hachimura has been underutilized in Washington. So I think him playing alongside LeBron James, it will be, I believe, like Kyle Kuzma was when he was with the Lakers. Nobody expected much when Kuzma came out of Utah. With Hachimura, I think he has the chance to excel now and become, and by excel, I mean instead of averaging 13 like he does with Washington, he could be a 15 to 20 point a game scorer. He's a good basketball player. For whatever reason, it just hasn't worked as well as it might in Washington. But there again, he wasn't playing with LeBron James. Now he is. So I think it's a real impressive trade, to be honest, and they didn't give up much to get him. So I think that really does help the Lakers. And speaking of the West, Jason, I mean, 5 through 13 in the West is just, it's like the Dan Ryan Expressway in Chicago at rush hour right now. It is just packed. And there is so little that separates all of the teams that any combination of those teams could end up making the playoffs. So I wouldn't count the Lakers out. And a month ago, I don't think any of us would have counted the Lakers in. But when they get Davis back, and with the addition of Hachimura, with LeBron playing like he is, and with some of the other players on the Laker lineup coming on, including Westbrook, who's had some great games lately, Lakers all of a sudden, they look pretty good, and you never bet against LeBron James.
Yeah, I just don't really understand this trade from Washington's standpoint, because second-round picks for our audience are like, oh, second-round picks, yeah. And in the NHL, they have NBA second-rounders. Like, sure, some of them hit, but the majority of them don't. And it's a second rounder this year, and then another one in 28, another one in 29. So you're talking a long time down the road. What about Nunn? What do you think he can add, if anything, for Washington?
Well, I mean, he's nice. He does some good things, but he's been a journeyman. And everywhere he goes, he's just in no way is that disrespectful to Kendrick Nunn, but he's a role player coming off the bench. You cannot expect high levels of productivity for him night after night. Otherwise, he'd been staying with one of the teams that have traded him. So he's one of those guys now that's in that stream that when a deal is made, he's going to be unloaded. So he'll go. He'll work hard. He's a really good on-ball defender. He can have good offensive games, but he's not a consistent offensive threat. So I don't know why Washington got rid of Hachimura, other than to speculate that he just wasn't happy with his role. And so they got what they could for him, moved him out. Maybe he was a problem in the locker room. Now that they have Bradley Beal back, they feel that they don't necessarily need him that badly. So that, to me, seems to be what I'm reading between the lines for this trade.
And, Paul, the Stingers came out today with their schedule for the upcoming season. Of course, it's a 20-game regular season. They square off against the newly formed Calgary Surge on May 27th. and 28th. First of all, I guess, give me your thoughts on the expansion with the team now in Calgary. You know, I think that would be good long term. They're probably not going to be great right away, but you know, lots of changes for the Stingers a little bit on the court, but mainly, you know, head coach, GM. What do you make of the upcoming season for the Stingers?
Well, I think I think it's going to be an interesting season from the standpoint of having that in-province rivalry. Add in the addition of Winnipeg. Now you have a true Western League or Western division of the league. So I think that's exciting for the CEBL. Jordan Baker, I mean, he's been an all-CEBL player every year. He stepped on the court, best player in the history of the Golden Bears, doing a really nice job at Nate after assisting at the U of A. I think Jordan's ready for this role. Steve, I know he's, I believe he's ready as well for, to be the general manager. I think they've got a real, good idea of what kind of team they want to be, and that they're looking at players that fit that kind of culture. So I'm optimistic about the Stingers. I think they've got really good, solid pieces in place in the head office. I think they're one of the best organized, if not the best organized teams in the league, and I would expect them to be competitive. And if some of the things that they're looking at come to fruition, there'll be more than that. So I think the Stingers and the CEBL should be a real exciting league this year. And, yeah, I'm, you know, of course I'm biased because there's family involved, but just for pro basketball in Edmonton, with the changes going on at the new Flair Airlines hangar, we used to be Hall D. I think it's going to be the improvements they've made inside. It's going to be a great atmosphere this year.
Great stuff, Paul. It's always good to catch up with you. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay. Take care, Jason.